This interview was produced for Red Eye, a 3-hour current affairs program on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO, at 102.7 FM.
On Thursday, the U.S. Food and Drug Administration approved a heart drug specifically for African Americans. Bidil is a combination of two older drugs used to treat hypertension and angina. While the older drugs are available in generic form, Bidil will now be protected by patent for 13 years. Nitromed is the company that produces Bidil. It stopped clinical trials early because it found a significant survival benefit to the patients on the drug. This is the first time the FDA has approved the use of a drug for use with a specific racial group. The approval of Bidil raises questions about the connection between race, biology, and genetics. Dorothy Roberts is a professor at Northwestern University's School of Law in Chicago. She is the author of Killing the Black Body: Race, Reproduction, and the Meaning of Liberty. She joins me this morning from Illinois. Good morning, Dorothy.
Good morning.
So how did Nitromed decide who was African American and who wasn't when it went looking for patients to test the drug on in the clinical trials?
Well, I'm pretty sure, if I recall correctly, it was by self-identification, although researchers use various methods to decide how they're going to classify people. Sometimes the researcher decides just by looking at the subject. And there have been other ways. There've even been tiles of different colors of ranging from light to dark, and researchers have held it up to the skin of the subject to decide how to classify. So there are various ways of doing it. Most today use self-identification, which of course can mean all sorts of things, which raises one of the main problems with using race as a category in scientific research.
And why was Nitromed even looking to test Bidil specifically with African Americans?
Well, there was an earlier clinical trial that showed that African Americans in the study, the earlier trial was just for general use by the population to see if the combination of drugs worked better than other therapies, and the researchers discovered that there was a statistical difference between the benefit for African Americans and whites. So after the FDA failed to approve Bidil based on that earlier study that was where it was directed toward the general population, they did another reanalysis of the study and showed this better result for African Americans. And then in order to get FDA approval for marketing specifically to African Americans, they conducted another clinical trial just of African Americans.
And are there statistics about the rates of death of African Americans from congestive heart failure?
Yeah, one of the statistics that's commonly used is a 2-to-1 ratio, that African Americans are twice as likely to die from congestive heart failure as whites, although like most clinical studies, there have been some criticisms of those studies. So some people say that it actually isn't that high, that it's actually going down. And on a related matter, the question of how effective other therapies are, the common therapy of ACE inhibitors, there's also debate about whether that therapy works as well for African Americans or not. Because one of the issues here was not just how well Bidil worked, but how poorly the more common therapy of ACE inhibitors worked for African Americans compared to whites. And there's also dispute about that. The manufacturers of Bidil and the researchers involved claim that ACE inhibitors don't work well for African Americans, but there are other studies that discredit that and say that they work just as well or almost as well. So there's a lot of debate about both the rate of death from congestive heart failure and about the different responses based on race to various therapies.
I want to turn to the broader issues that this raises. Do you think it's possible to come up with a valid definition of race for the purpose of drug trials like this one?
No, I don't think there is for this kind of medical research. Race is not a scientific category, at least not in terms of being able to come up with a genetic definition of what race is, or being able to come up with a test to identify people by race genetically. So any research that is trying to prove some genetic difference based on race just doesn't make sense, because people are classified according to so-called races based on cultural and social definitions, not based on some inherent genetic difference that scientists have been able to identify. So it depends on the purpose of the research. If the purpose of the research is to figure out the impact of different socioeconomic conditions that are associated with race, or the impact of racism on various biological conditions, and it's clear that race is being used as a socio-political category, and the point is to identify the social forces that affect biology, that's one thing. That I think you can classify people according to a racialized group, recognizing that it's not because of some inherent genetic difference. But here, the whole thesis underlying Bidill is that the reason for differences in mortality from congestive heart failure and for differences in responses to drug therapies based on race is some genetic difference between African Americans and whites. And that just, again, it's not only not supported, it just doesn't make sense, because there is no inherent genetic classification of race.
And what happens when you start defining race in those ways in biological terms?
Well, we have a long and sad history of what happens. I would sort of reverse the question in a way, because the reason for classifying people according to race in the first place was to subordinate people, to say that there are certain categories of people who are inherently superior to others in order to justify their domination. And so we see the scientific classification of race is very closely associated with slavery, for example. I mean, that it was to justify slavery that the whole system of scientific explanations of racial difference was developed in the first place. So, and that goes on through the era of eugenics, again, where racial differences were seen to be scientific and also seen to be linked with all sorts of positive and negative social characteristics. And we could just go on and on through history, especially in the United States, where the notion that races are biologically different has been used to justify social injustice and social inequality, and also to justify failure to address those inequalities because they're supposedly linked to some inherent biological difference that can't be addressed socially anyway. And so I think when we start to accept that a drug can be, is appropriate for one so-called race of people only because of some biological difference between them and other races, it reinforces this idea that there really is a scientific validity to racial classifications, that there really are biological differences. And if you start to accept that, and inherent biological differences. You accept, well, okay, there are inherent differences in the way the heart works in blacks and whites. Then you might be more likely to accept that there are inherent differences in the way people respond to stress and in intelligence and in propensity for violence and in the desire to work and all the things that have been associated wrongly and dangerously with race in the past. And that, you know, many people still believe today. It may not be as acceptable to say it, but there are a lot of people who still believe that there's something fundamentally and inherently different between blacks and whites and other racialized groups. And this kind of thinking and these kinds of developments in biomedical research reinforce that view.
You argue in a recent article in Genetics and Society that having drugs tailored to particular populations will affect efforts to improve health through social change. How so?
Well, we can take this example of the differences in death from congestive heart failure. If you think that the reason is because of some inherent genetic difference and it can be fixed with a drug, then you're less likely to continue doing research and address resources toward the socioeconomic reasons for that difference in congestive heart failure mortality. Surely it's related to, in part, to the lack of appropriate health care for African Americans, to the stress of racism on African Americans, to the higher poverty rate, to all sorts of things we don't even know yet because we need to continue doing research on that. But it's less likely that the government is going to devote resources to it, that venture capitalists are going to devote resources. Unfortunately, in the United States, as was the case with Bidil, you have to go out shopping for venture capitalists to support your research in order to get it done. And it's unlikely that the market is going to, and the government will support, and the public will support this kind of research looking into the socioeconomic and environmental reasons for disparities in health if people believe that it can all be solved with a pill.
And how would you respond to people who say that you're actually sacrificing the health of patients who could benefit from this drug in order to make a political point about race?
Well, the truth is that what will actually benefit the health of black patients is to find out the link between their socioeconomic and political status and their poor health. I think that turning to pharmaceutical remedies cuts off research that will truly benefit black people's health and other people's health and well-being as well. Also, it has to be remembered, as you said in your introduction, that the medications that are put together to create Bidil were and are available to patients. So it's not as if we needed a drug marketed to African Americans in order to make this remedy available. And in addition to say that it's a drug for African Americans cuts off the possibility and the reality that other kinds of therapies are better for certain African Americans. All it has to be remembered, all that these studies show is that statistically African Americans are more likely to benefit from the combination in Bidil than whites, but it doesn't mean that all are, nor that that whites would not benefit from the combination in Bidil. So, it's possible now that doctors will automatically prescribe Bidil for all African-American patients who have congestive heart failure rather than investigating whether they would be better off with the ACE inhibitors. So I just don't see my critique as at all sacrificing the health of African-Americans. I think that it's a way to better the health of current patients, but also to improve the conditions that would prevent the disparity in mortality rates for African-Americans.
Well, thank you very much for joining us this morning, Dorothy.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you.
I've been speaking with Dorothy Roberts, professor at Northwestern University School of Law in Chicago. She's the author of Killing the Black Body, Race, Reproduction, and the Meaning of Liberty.
Red Eye is produced by an independent media collective and airs on Vancouver Cooperative Radio. You can hear the program from 9 until noon Pacific Time, streaming live at cooperadio.org.